Good morning. It's so great to be here this morning. I think Jonathan made a mistake. I took this picture this morning outside. Man, Tita, that's a lie. I didn't. That's a summer bun. But you know, it makes me think of a song I used to sing, and I won't sing it because you'll all run out of here. In the wintertime, it's summer in my heart. Remember that one? It is summertime, it is summertime, it is summertime in my heart. In the wintertime, it's summer in my heart. And that's what that makes me anyway. Anyway, it's good to be here. And you know something interesting. It's 15 days. He skipped it. He was going to say it, but he talked about the banquet, which is probably way more important in a sense. But in 15 days, Christmas. Now, Christmas, to all of us here, means something different. And Christmas is, you know, to the children, of course, it's here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus. You know, that's Christmas for a lot of people. Christmas is shopping. Christmas is visiting friends. Christmas is all these different things. But what is the real meaning of Christmas? Well, this morning we had an avant-goût, which means a before taste of Luke chapter 1. Thank you, brother. I thought you were going to steal my sermon this morning. So let's look at chapter 1 of Luke, and we're going to talk about Christmas. And we're going to talk about what does Christmas mean to you. And you know, a lot of people worship Mary. She's a wonderful person. She was the mother of Jesus. A lot of people worship angels at Christmas times, angelology. A lot of people think that Jesus is only on Joseph's lap. But you know, we're going to look at Christmas through the eyes of Mary this year. Wow. But we're not worshiping Mary. We're worshiping Jesus, Mary's son. But Mary's a very interesting person. And we don't talk too much about Mary because there's so much exaggeration about Mary. It's just like there's so much exaggeration about the angels, you know, because we have a group called angelology and they worship the angels and so on and so on. But, you know, can you imagine in chapter 1 of Luke, Gabriel came and visited Mary. She was a young girl, probably 13, 14, 15. Yes, a very young teenage girl. And have you ever thought of what she must have thought of when the angel came to her? I have grandchildren, granddaughters, 13, 14, and 17. And can you imagine if they came to me and say, "Hey, abuelo, I'm going to have a baby." Can you imagine? Now, today it's more common. Today, even though it's wrong, I mean, I'm one of those children out of wedlock. I was a one-night stand, but that's okay. God saved me, and I've forgiven the people. But the thing is, Mary had never had a relationship with a man. You're going to say, "Oh, Ron, forget it. That's a fairy tale." That's not true. It is true because you know why? Because the Bible says it's true. And if the Bible says it, it's true. But anyway, there's Mary. And there's the angel Gabriel coming to Mary and saying you're going to have a baby. Can you imagine? But you know what? The first thing in the first part of my message is, how did she respond? Do you remember the story of Moses? When Jesus came, or God came to Moses and told him that he wanted to use him as a servant, what did Moses say? "No, Lord, no. I have a stutter. That's what he said to God. So he told God to use his brother Aaron. Gabriel came, the angels came and visited also Gideon. And remember, Gideon was working and Gideon said, "Well, I'm the least of my family. I'm not good for anything." So there's two examples of people called by God to do something for God. But Mary, wow, do I like what Mary said. You know, we're going to look into this because Mary says, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you had said about me come true. She was willing to do God's will, even though it meant shame, even though it meant so much in that time. Today, again, you just, you know, it happens. You know, c'est la vie. Qu'est-ce que c'est? Well, you know, but in that time, it was, she could have got stoned. She could have got persecuted for the rest of her life. But she says, God, I don't understand everything you're doing, but I am your servant. And the question I have for each one of us here, and me too, whose servant are we? Christmas is a time of materialism. And again, I love Christmas. I have a Christmas tree. Yeah. I sing Christmas carols, beautiful carols. Joanne, that was a nice sing song. And you know why I love Christmas? Because as Jonathan said earlier, we can tell men and women, boys and girls about the Jesus of Christmas. And we can tell them about his birth and burial and death and so on. It's a wonderful time of telling people, like Easter. I like Easter. I don't like, you know, here come Peter, cottontail up and down. You know, I don't like that stuff. But everybody wants to know about Jesus at Easter. And that's what's so wonderful about in 15 days, we're going to be celebrating the birth. Now, we don't know if it's the exact day, but we are going to be celebrating the birth of Jesus, our Savior, the Lord and King of this earth. And that's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. But again, Mary was willing to do what Jesus had for her. She was willing to go all the way with Jesus. She wasn't just like so many people say, when God calls me, I'm not going to do that. I can't do it. Take me, for instance. This is an example. I passed on trial in grade 2, 4, and 6 in school, and I flunked grade 8 twice. You have to be pretty dumb. I know that's not politically correct, but I can say it about myself. I flunked grade 8 twice. I was dyslexic. We didn't know what that was all about. And then, it took me a couple of extra years, I graduated. And you know what God said to me? Ron, go to Quebec. What a joke! I couldn't even speak English right. My wife thought I was German when we started going out because I had an accent, because I lived with this person and that other person with different accents. And I couldn't read and write very good either. And the Lord asked me to go learn another language when I don't even know my own language well, to go to Quebec. Did I go? I did. And he blessed me. Je parle français. Si vous voulez, nous pouvons parler français. A miracle. And then after 12 years in Quebec, you know what he told me to do? He says, Ron, I want you to go and do Acts chapter 1 and 8, that I was to be a testimony in Jerusalem, my area, Vancouver, Judea, the whole province of Canada, the whole province, my Judea, Samaria, that was Quebec. He called me to Quebec. And then it's another one. The last part is the othermost parts of the world. I said, sure, I'll go, Lord. French or English? No. What? He asked me to learn Spanish. This is the kid that didn't even get his graduation until 2 years after he was supposed to get it. Hey, ahora yo hablo español. Si quiere podemos hablar en español. I'm only giving those examples to say we are to do what God wants us to do, even though it seems impossible. Okay, are you with me? We are supposed to do everything God tells us to, and He tells us, and we're going to see some things that He tells us to do. He tells us in the Bible, trust and obey. There's no other way. So when Christmas comes, don't forget, Mary said, yes, Lord, you are my servant. I am your servant. Mary was Jesus' servant. Yes, you know, it says here, Mary, animated by Elizabeth, addressed and being under the influence of the Holy Spirit broke out into a joy, admiration, and gratitude. She knew herself to be a sinner who needed a Savior, and that she could not otherwise rejoice in God for as interested in his soul's salvation through the promise of the Messiah. Now, she wrote a song, and this is it here. Now, I'm not going to read it. We're going to listen to it. We're going to listen to it. So I want you to sit back here. We could read this. This could read it. But you know, the interesting thing, and when the angels... Now, how will this be? Mary asked the angels, since I am a virgin. And here's what she says again. I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angels left her. That's one thing. She says, I am a servant. The second thing we read in another verse, and Mary, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God. So she says, I am God's servant, and she says, I am going to magnify, glorify God. That's Mary. And the last thing I'm going to be talking about later on is, and Mary said to the servant, do whatever Jesus tells you to do. She brings no attention on herself. She brings no glory on herself. She doesn't want people to worship her. She wants people to do whatever he, Jesus, tells you to do. And I'm telling you the same thing because it's a biblical concept. Okay, let's look at it. Sit back and please try to look at the word. And it's about 2 minutes. It might be too long just for sitting there. But let's look at it and see how it goes. We practiced beforehand. I hope it works. This is Mary.
Thank you.
This is in Luke. Luke chapter 1. She sings this. These are her words. And she was giving all the glory, all the honor, all the admiration, all the magnifying to the Lord. And remember what she said. She says that's her job. That's her mission. That's what God has called her to do. To magnify the Lord. And she says to us today, I am the Lord's servant. Are you the servant of the Lord? Or are you a servant of your work? Are you the servant of your family? All good things, all good things. Are you a servant of the materialism? Are you a servant? What? Who? What? How are we servants? She was a servant of the Lord. And my encouragement that this Christmas season, that you and I will be servants of the Lord. My soul doth magnify the Lord, she says. Who do we magnify? Do we magnify all the trappings of the world? I mean, we have wonderful things. We're very privileged here. But we are to magnify the Lord. And then, are we doing what Jesus tells us to do? What did Jesus say to you? What is Jesus saying to you this Christmas? Think about it. What is he saying? If you're reading the Bible, if you're not reading the Bible, he may be not talking to you. Because you know, if you don't read the Bible, how are you going to hear from him? See, we talk to God through prayer, and he talks to us through the Bible. And that's why we always preach the Bible. We say it's in the Bible that counts. My words are important when it comes from the Bible, when it comes from the Holy Spirit. So what did Jesus say? What is Jesus saying to you to do? What does Jesus say to do? That's the thing. What does Jesus want from you and me this Christmas season? Think about it. It's an important question. What does God really want from you? One thing he wants us to is magnify the Lord. Glorify the Lord. Lift the Lord up. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He came to earth to die for you and I. He took our place on Calvary. He took our sins away from him. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all who you have given him. Jesus was here to glorify the Father. And that's what we're to do. Glorify the Father. Glorify Jesus. Let's read a couple of verses. Jesus says, if I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claimed as your God, is the one who glorifies me. See, we are to glorify Jesus, glorify God. Let them shout with joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasures in the prosperity of his people. And Psalm 69:30, I will praise the name of God with song and what? Magnify him with thanksgiving. Are we doing that? We have family dinners around Christmas time. And we always start off by glorifying God, thanking God for giving us his Son. And that's the way it should be. And what does God really require of you? Now, in the Old Testament, in one of the last books, the Old Testament, God gives us three things. And we're just going to take a quick look at these three things. What does the Lord require of you? To magnify Jesus by doing what he calls us. Three things. First, to act justly. And you can find this in Micah chapter 6, 8 in the Old Testament in your Bible. To act justly. To love mercy. And to walk humbly with God. And I'm going to give three quick examples of these. Three different people in the Scriptures. Two in the New Testament, one in the Old Testament. We are to act justly. We are to love mercy. And we are to walk in humbly with your God. That's what God says for us to do. And we read that straight from the Bible. I mean, there's a lot of pressures at this time of the year. But these are the things that we should be working in. Let's look at Paul. We're going to look at Paul, just one example of Paul's life, how he was just. Then we're going to look at one example of Joseph, how he was kind. And then we're going to take one look at David, who was humble. And we can look at their lives and we can examine our lives. Don't examine the life of the person in front of you, or to your left, or to your right, or behind you. Examine yourself. I examine myself. Do I walk humbly like David did? Was I just and kind like Joseph did? Well, let's look at the three stories very quickly. First, we think of Paul. And I'm not going to read all this, but you can read it as we go along. But we find that Paul is going to with a letter from King Agrippa, and he was on the road. He was on the road going towards Jerusalem, and what he was going to do, he was going to split the throats of the Jewish Christians. He was going to execute them. He was going to take them, put them in prison. And all of a sudden, he's going along with this whole bunch of army people and so on, and they're going down there to get him. And all of a sudden, a shining light came down from heaven. And out of this bright light, it says, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And Paul said, "Well, hold it. What's going on here? Who am I persecuting?" He was persecuting Jesus. Then I asked, "Who are you, Lord?" And Jesus, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." See, he didn't want to have anything to do with Jesus. He didn't think Jesus was the Messiah. He wanted to wipe out all those that believed in Jesus. He wanted to wipe out all those that were from the way, they called themselves. And here we see from these different verses that did he do justice? Yes, because he changed 180 degrees. He was going there, he was going to kill him. The Lord spoke to him, he turned, and he didn't persecute the people of Jesus. Matthew 4:19 says, "Come, follow me," Jesus said. And Jesus said to them, "Come after me." See, Jesus called Paul to follow him, to do what he wanted to do. Just like Mary said, that she wanted us to do what Jesus told us to do. And one thing Jesus told Saul to do, his name was changed to Paul after, was to tell people about the Messiah. To tell people about Jesus, the Jesus that he was persecuting, the Jesus that he was against, the Jesus that he didn't believe in. And he did. He did justice because he stopped persecuting and he started preaching. He started telling people about the Messiah. Beautiful story. How about Joseph? Wow, what a story, eh? He had 12 brothers and they were all jealous of him. Well, he had 11 brothers and he was a 12th. And he had a beautiful, nice coat on like this, right? I was going to wear the one with lights in it that shine, but I thought maybe Jonathan and Ken wouldn't invite me again. But anyway, he had a beautiful coat, lots of red on it and yellows on it, beautiful coat. And his brothers were all upset with him and jealous. So what they did, they stripped him of his coat, they put his coat into goat's blood, and then they took the person of Joseph and threw him in an old well, a pit, an old dried up well. And then they were going to take the coat with blood on it, take it back to their father, say, "Oh, too bad, a wild animal got Joseph and ate him." But then all of a sudden, there was a caravan coming down with camels going to Egypt. And them being wise, and in a sense, they said, "Let's sell them." We'll sell him to these merchants to be a slave, and he'll go off to Egypt. So they took him out of the pit, sold him to them. Wiedersehen, au revoir. Arrivederci, goodbye. Wiedersehen. But time passed. And Joseph, being a servant of God, a righteous person, he worked hard in Egypt. And he got a good reputation. And he built his credibility up. And he became higher and higher in the ruling system of Egypt. And he also came so just under Pharaoh. And there was a real famine in the land. Are you with me? A famine in the land. So what happens? People from all around would come to Egypt to get food. So all of a sudden, he's there dressed up like an Egyptian. Él está allá hablando en Egyptian. Cuando su hermano... See, you don't understand me. And when he talked to his brothers, he used an interpreter. Because they didn't know who he was. I mean, it's been years. He's dressed up different. He speaks different. He acts different. He's been there in Egypt for years. So the brothers wanted free food. You couldn't go to McDonald's at that time, or you couldn't go to Tim Hortons or anything. You had to get food. So what happens, we find, he says to his brothers, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." He didn't kill his brothers. He could have. He could have had the Egyptian take him to prison, slit the throat. But he was what? He was kind. He was kind. And God wants us to be kind. God wants us to be generous. God wants us to be good to people during this season. And then the last one, which is very important and very interesting, to walk hungry. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This is Psalm 69:30. And David was a man after God's own heart. And he was humble. And this is what God wants us to do this Christmas season. First, he wants us to follow him. But you know, the interesting thing about it all is that he wants us to tell people about him. He wants to magnify. He wants to, you know, not because he's small. And he doesn't want to use a telescope. He wants to use a magnifier. He wants us to make him big in front of everybody. He wants us to be humble. It's not about me and my nice red shirt and green tie. It's about Jesus. And that's what he wants us to do this Christmas. He wants us to, like a man, bring Jesus to the surface. That's what he wants us to do. See, the reason he does that, because we are spiritually, our spiritual vision is very poor. And we want to take the front page all the time. We want to be noticed. We want to be appreciated. But our job this Christmas is to magnify and obey and do what Jesus wants us to do. And that's what he wants us to do. Don't magnify your problems, magnify your God. And that's what he wants us to do. So when you're at the coffee shop at Tim Hortons with a coffee now, a Starbucks better. If you're Starbucks at the coffee having, and you're talking to somebody and they say, "What you know, Christmas, I don't believe in Santa Claus thing." Oh, good, I don't either. But you know what Christmas really means? And there's many, many people in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, don't know what Christmas is all about. We are so privileged with thousands and thousands. Trudeau said he's having 500,000 refugees coming into Canada next year, I think. I think that's what he said, 500,000? Yeah, okay, got it. I think so. I heard that somewhere. So a lot of these people don't know the Christ of Christmas. And it's our job, our responsibility to tell them about it. Magnify the Lord with me and tell us, exalt his name together. God is good. He is so wonderful. This Christmas season will keep each of us busy. But as the overwhelming pressure of life rises over our heads, let's draw upon that practical principles and learn from these great lives as we should do. Love what's kind and walk in humble with God. That's what he wants us to do. Now, if Jesus had a wish, if he had a Christmas wish list, he would wish, he would hope, he would want you and I to do those three things that Mary told him. To magnify the Lord, to obey the Lord, and to do what the Lord wants us to do. And that is so important. Jesus wants us to love him with the same love God has for him. Jesus said, I have made you known to them. Jesus has made God known to them and will continue to make you God known to in order that the love you have for me, God's love for Jesus, may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Jesus wants us to help those in need. Let the godly sing of for joy to the Lord. It is fitting for a pure to praise him, and that's what God wants us to praise. You know, it's easy to praise men like Billy Graham and some of our prime ministers. It's easy, but it's easy to praise and magnify and glorify all the beautiful things around us like Niagara Falls and other things, but we are to praise the Lord. The opposite of magnifying the Lord is to diminish, to reduce, to shrink, to decrease, to lessen, to minimize. Many people in our society are trying to minimize God and faith. They want to diminish knowledge of God or attention to God. Season greetings. What happened to Merry Christmas? Season greetings. Happy holidays. Every time I go to a store and somebody says happy holidays, I say, thanks. Merry Christmas to you too. Take that. But why not? Why not? We know it's important. Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. And our responsibility is to tell people that Jesus is the reason for the season. That is so important. Jesus is the reason for the season. We are to witness for Jesus. We are to tell people the real meaning of Christmas. We are to do what Mary said. Tell them, magnify, glorify God. Do what he says to do. This is what we're supposed to do. Glorify God. This is what God asks us to do. We're to worship him.
Unto Jesus be our glory, honor, and praise.
Christmas is all about Jesus. I hope your eyes are filling with tears, because it's all about him. Lift up the name of Jesus. That is our responsibility, to do justice like Paul, magnify the Lord. To love kindness, like Joseph, magnify the Lord. To humbly walk, like David, magnify the Lord. That's what we are called to do, to magnify the Lord. Shall we close in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for Mary. We thank you, Heavenly Father, we're not here to worship her, but we're here to thank you, Lord, for her and what she's done for us in regards to encouraging us to magnify the Lord, to do what Jesus tells you to do. We just pray, Heavenly Father, that you might continue to work through us this Christmas season, and that we'll go out of our way to magnify you, to glorify you, to tell men and women, boys and girls, that Jesus is the reason for the season. These things we ask, giving you thanks in the precious, wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.